Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To pray or not to pray? That is the question. Where to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous life in order to have a closer relationship with our Savior? I wonder if Shakespeare's rolling over in his grave right now. That's Hamlet soliloquy. Well, interesting point. How many of us pray each day? Now, the Bible tells us, I like to go in a closed room so that we may pray in secret. No, it's not really pray in secret. It's to, as we're in there, we won't be interrupted while we pray. When we talk with God, and so we do not boast about praying. Okay? Remember, the word for boast in Greek is klaxon. So you got to watch it so you know, I'm not going to, you know. What happened is the Pharisees used to go into the temple and pray in front of everybody. So everybody knew that they were praying. So is prayer public spectacle, or is it something between you and God? See what I'm getting at? Well, you know, the good place to pray is in your car. And let that peace overcome you. At least it cuts down on your road rage then. That's right. Do you think God's more concerned about when we pray or just that we pray? Yeah. I think so too. God tells us to pray, and then he listens to our prayer. In our Old Testament lesson, Abraham. Isn't Abraham praying to God when he's talking with him? And he asks God to save Sodom and Gomorrah. And does God listen? Yeah. He says, instead of 50, what about 45? And God says, okay, I can do 45. Well, instead of 45, how about 40? And God says, I can do 40. And then he goes to 30, and then he goes down to 10. That means he had to find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, we know that didn't work. But God listened to him, didn't he? Then in our psalm today, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. So on the day I called, you answered me. Well, did he listen? Did he answer? Yes, yes. But the thing is that answer always what we want? No, it's always what is best for you. And sometimes an answer to your prayer, the answer is no. I mean, how many times do you have to say no to your kids? Especially if you've been without a toilet for a week. I think I'd be yelling no at that point. Yeah, he told me about it. Well, folks, there are two versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, one in Matthew, one in Luke. The only real difference between the two is at the end of the one in Matthew is, you know, we have that bit at the end, the doxology, for thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen. Luke doesn't have that. Roman Catholic Church uses the one in Luke. Luther liked the one with the doxology at the end to it because it praises God, and so we use the one and two in Protestant churches and in Matthew. What difference does it make? None. It's still the Lord's Prayer, right? We're still praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Well, so does it make one better than the other? No. Is one more important than the other? No. Does it change any of the meaning? No. The Lord's Prayer is important. But when Jesus teaches us to pray, it's not an end education. It's a preliminary education. All right, Lord, teach us how to pray. Well, it starts like this. Our Father who art in heaven. Okay? That's how you start talking to God. It's not a graduate course in prayology. It's how to talk with God on a one-to-one basis. You know how much I like the Lord of the Rings. And the Lord of the Rings, of all things, is a Christian moving. I've talked about that in here before. When J.R.R. Tolkien was writing that, he and C.S. Lewis used to get together twice a week, and they would discuss the things that Tolkien was dealing with. There's a three-book set that his son Christopher Tolkien put out that deals with the etymology of how Tolkien came up with scripture and applied the mythology to tell the story of scripture. So whatever is in that movie is an underlying Christian message. If you've seen the movie, Frodo and Sam have to go into Mount Doom to throw the Ring of Power into the lab and destroy it. All right, that's the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right, what's the temptation? Well, when Frodo gets in there, he says, I'm going to keep the ring. Lead us not into temptation. And then Gollum comes in and bites the ring off his finger, falls in the lava, and it's destroyed. Deliver us from evil. So that's a visual representation of the Lord's Prayer. How many of you knew that? Well, if you've been in some of my church services, you know, I've talked about that. But that whole movie is all Christian-based. And the thing I find that is really interesting, Tolkien was working on that the same time C.S. Lewis was working on Mere Christianity and the Screwtape Letters in his five essays on Christianity. And it's, I find it really interesting because sometimes you can see an overlap, especially in the Screwtape Letters. Screwtape Letters is a demon who is talking to the devil, and they're just frustrated because things aren't going their way. And it's really cute, but the theology in it is really good. Well, Jesus taught us that it's important to pray. Why? Because it opens a conduit and a pipeline between us and God. Okay? Even science has found that there's a difference when we pray. The mind goes into a different way of thinking, and it shows up on scientific tests, which I find very interesting. All right? So what happens is when we pray, we actually have things that come out of our head. No, it's not a string that comes out, things like that. But your awareness starts to spread. It becomes a conduit between us and God. Now, I've talked about that conduit before in terms of the cross, right? So, this is our conduit between us and God. Then what happens? It's got to be a conduit between us and... Okay, so when we pray, especially when we're praying for others... See what I'm talking about? That conduit opens up. Now, does God always listen? Yes. Does God always answer? Yes. But as we talked before, that answer isn't necessarily always yes. Sometimes it's no. You know, it's Pastor Tony talked about one time about a prayer release. When things get really bad, then instead of asking for healing, sometimes it's better for the person to go and be with God. And is there something wrong with that? To go through pain and suffering on earth, or to go to be with your Maker in glory? Do you believe? And you see, what prayer does is open up that conduit for that. Because God's going to do what's best for us, but He has told us to pray. And when I do ride my car, I do a lot of praying. That's when I get caught up. And I, at times, I haven't been doing as much lately, I keep a prayer log for who I pray for. I know Nancy does that, okay? Because that way you can tell, did God answer the prayers? And it's surprising how many times He does, doesn't it? So what really is He teaching us? Well, it's not just to go through the act of praying, but to communicate with God. Keep that two-way communication open, because we are actually talking and listening at the same time. That's that conduit. When we pray to Jesus, how does He answer? Through the Holy Spirit, okay? But again, do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, I would hope so, okay? But I know there's many of us at times that sort of argue with it, okay? When Jesus gave us His life on the cross, He opened up that conduit for us to talk directly to God. And I think, again, that conduit is that communication between us and Jesus. And what a blessing to have that, that you can just talk to God, he listens and he answers. But just as the blessings of the cross radiate from the arms of the cross, so does the blessings of prayer radiate from him through us unto others. So is it important to pray? I think so. It's a resounding yes. In a few minutes today, we're going to do a litany on the Lord's Prayer. And again, we talked about this, but Herb Linneman was not a clergy person. He was one of you. But it meant so much to him that he did this explanation of what the Lord's Prayer means to him. And he had it published. So when we do that, think about the blessing of the words that he shared with us in this prayer that we're giving back to Jesus and God. And it's coming back to us. And may the blessings of that prayer cover you with the grace of our Lord and Savior. Amen.